Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, lady listeners.
Hey. I was wondering if you were going to say it. I was waiting to see.
I don't know how to not say it at this point.
That's true. That's true. Now, I want to go back to our conversation about prom. So I want to ask, Tessa, you said you didn't go to either of your proms, junior or senior?
I didn't go. No, I didn't go to my proms. I just actually, I had a date to my senior prom and I don't know. It just kind of didn't feel right and I broke it off. And I ended up just going to the after parties. And I don't know, like the second half of my senior year, I feel like I just had mentally disconnected from everybody and everything.
Well, you were moving across the country too. Like that was your plan. Like, yeah. Well, that was your plan though, to get the fuck out of there. So my plan makes sense.
Yeah. It was always to go to New York. And I was kind of like, I don't know. For some reason, I never really enjoyed high school. Like, and I was always, I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Does anybody? Raise your hand if you liked high school. Okay, nobody did.
It didn't bother me. I went to a high school that was ginormous, and it just seemed like everybody minded their own business.
Well, this was before social media, right?
Huh?
This was before social media, though, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There was Facebook, though, when we were in high school, no?
No. Well, I'm older than you guys.
I didn't get Facebook until, God, I'm with my husband, so in my 20s.
I remember when AOL. Remember when AOL chat rooms were a thing.
Well, yes. I definitely had that. But no, so you went to your prom, Mel?
Which I went to my junior prom, but my junior prom date was so bad, I did not even attempt to go my senior year. I was like, fuck that shit.
Was it with your boyfriend or with your junior one?
It was a guy I was dating. It was that classic date the older guy. It all went wrong. He wasn't in high school. Like that.
He wasn't in high school?
Uh-uh, he wasn't in high school.
How old was he?
God, I remember he bought us liquor, so.
And how old were you?
I would have been 17.
Stop it. Now I've got all these horrors going through my mind about my daughters.
I think back on high school and I think, God, we were lucky. Because we used to like hop in cars with people. Did you guys ever do the thing where you like rode down up and down a street? And then you'd meet people and you just cruise the same street over and over again?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we did that and you would hop in cars with random people and hang out.
Oh, yeah. We were all lucky. I look back at some of the things I did and I'm like, I definitely should have been a true Hollywood story.
Yes. Should have ended up on the news. You should have had a 60 Minutes made about your life.
Yeah. So
do you feel like Dateline. You missed out, though? On prom, do you feel like you missed out?
Yeah, I'd like to go back in time and slap myself and be like, enjoy it. Stop. Get your head out of your ass and stop being so like, you're not past this yet. You're still 18. You're still 17. Yeah. Like, I really just thought this isn't for me. I can't wait to get my life started. But that was my life. Like, I was just avoiding it and I wasn't living it the way I should have. I should have just like lived it to the fullest. I mean, there were some like really good homecomings where like me and my friends like went all out and dressed up and did the whole thing. But but yeah, my senior year, like I said, I was high and also I just didn't want to do anything. You know, I was like, I just want to get out of here. I don't want to ever see any of these people again. And they were fine. They were great people.
There's a lot of moments in your life, though, I think you could look back at yourself and be like, live in the moment, like quit being a dick, you know?
Totally.
Like, I feel like there's a lot. But, you know, I didn't get to go to my junior prom because I was grounded. I thought it was because I got caught smoking. But then I remembered I told my mom that I was staying with a friend and I ended up going camping with my boyfriend at the time. But then, like, then I got home and I got busted. So I didn't get to go to my junior prom. But I went to my senior prom and I went with somebody that I didn't know. It was like a friend of a friend. And it was so awkward. And I had to come back home before everybody else. I couldn't stay out all night like everybody else did. And I live like an hour away from the high school. So like it was like the person that drove me out had to drive me back. And like they were just irritated by it. So... It's like, well, sorry. But I looked really cute. Would you go again, Mel, to your senior prom? Do you wish you would have gone to that?
Well, I think I was like Tessa, and I'd already disconnected because I'd completed so many classes that I was only taking the mandatory one class a semester. And like one of them was, or I had to take two classes a semester, and one of them was like home ec where we were like cooking so that I could, you had to take that many to stay in school. So I just did that. So I was very disconnected my senior year.
Yeah, I just like, I don't know how to describe it, but I just have no sentimental attachment whatsoever to high school or any of it. Same, like I don't know what it is. If I went to the Friday Night Lights high school, maybe it would have been different.
No
like,
shit, right?
Whenever like, I watch the these
unrealistic expectations.
Yeah. Whenever I watch these like, or Buffy or any of those shows that I used to watch mm-hmm. when I was younger, I was like, high school just wasn't like that for me. There wasn't those cliques and there wasn't, it didn't have that high school feel. It felt like everybody was just trying to get through it. So yeah.
Now, are you friends with anybody from high school, like in real life or on Facebook? Are you friends with anybody from high school?
I am. I'm friends with my girl I met in like kindergarten.
Aww.
I can't imagine what that's like.
She married my cousin and then she divorced him and I took her side. talked to my cousin.
I'm friends with one person from high school still. We were on the same travel basketball team in fourth grade, and then we went to the same high school, and I'm still friends with her. I'm gonna go see her. I haven't seen her probably in about 8 years, and I'm gonna go see her this summer.
Fun. Where's she live? Is she still back in California?
She's in San Diego.
Oh, I'm going there in April. I can't wait.
Oh, you are?
We have to go to San Francisco for my husband's job. He has a conference out there. So we're all going. And one of my friends from college, she lives in San Diego. So we're going to San Francisco and then we're just going to drive down and stay for a while and visit and stuff. So I love San Diego so much.
God. Everybody is alarmingly happy.
I know. How did you move from that? What I don't get.
Yeah, I took it for granted, you know, everything mm-hmm. is so clean and the highways have no potholes and everybody is polite and the supermarkets.
It's 70 degrees all the time.
All the time. And I took things for granted, in New York, the supermarkets, you know, space is at a premium here. So supermarkets, like the aisles, you can't fit two mm-hmm. carts past each other in a supermarket aisle here.
Yeah.
And in California, I just remember going back after having moved to New York for a couple of years and being like, oh my God, this aisle is huge.
There's room everywhere.
Everything's so sprawled out.
I could
do a
Charleston here. And yeah, I took it for granted. But though my parents, who stayed there after I moved to New York, we used to go back and visit them once a year, but then they moved here when I got pregnant. So I haven't been back to California before I got pregnant with my daughter. So almost 8-9 years. So we're going there in July. We're going to fly to San Francisco and spend 2 weeks driving down the coast. And then I'm going to...
Holy shit. So we're doing the same fucking
thing. Yeah.
Nice. Are that you guys cool. going to do Disneyland?
Yeah, we're going to do Disneyland.
We are too. Son of a bitch.
We're going to do the San
Diego... We should have planned this at the
You know what? I have to
time.
Highly recommend doing the San Diego Zoo. It's
the
best
the
zoo
list
in
too.
The, in the world. Definitely do Seal Beach and La Jolla. There's so many places I want to go. And
oh my God.
I'm going to take her to my family.
Del Mar.
Yes, Del Mar Racetrack is going to be open while you're there.
Hell yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm going to take her to the house I grew up in. So I'm going to show her the house I grew up in, which I'm really excited for. So.
Oh, also, you were talking about zoos. There is a zoo here that is it's one of the biggest on the East Coast. I think it's second to San Diego, maybe. But there is an elephant habitat that's here. And I had never in my life seen an elephant run until I got to this zoo, because it's just acres and acres. And you stand there on this little lookout and you can see just a field, just a prairie of elephants, and they're running. And I was just like, holy fuck. It felt like Jurassic Park. When they come over the mountain, you know, the dinosaurs. Na, 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 na. Exactly like that. So, yeah, it's awesome. If you ever get a chance, it's just outside Charlotte. I think it's near Winston-Salem. It's this fucking phenomenal zoo that's there. So go check that out.
Oh, my God. Totally.
Zoo aficionados.
And I'm actually just found out that I'm going to do I don't think I can tell people this. I'm going to do a signing at the Ripped Bodice while I'm in Los Angeles.
I think I sent you a post about it. RSC. Oh, nice.
Yeah. I got in contact with them. I was like, I've gotten to this age where I like create opportunities, which is really exciting, where I was like, okay, I'm going to be in California. I've never done a book signing in California. So like, let me just reach out to a bookstore and see if I can organize one. And I did it.
That's such a great so cool. That is a fantastic, because we've never done one on the West Coast either. We've never gone past Texas. Many.
Yeah.
Maybe so. I don't know. Like, there's several readers who are in California I'd love to meet. I think it would be really awesome. And they're always like, come do one out here. That's such a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that and go before you.
You bitch.
I'm going in April. I'm going to do it. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to go and be like, oh, Tessa's going to follow in our footsteps.
No, you should do it because they're really adorable. That's the people awesome. I reached out to. Then, you know, I reached out to two other authors that live in the area, Samantha Beck and Robin Bielman, and they're going to do it with me. So.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. I think it's going to be June 27th, but I have to double check that. So, well, more details June 11th, to come. So June 11th?
It has nothing to do with this. I just need you to know it's June 11th. Our P.O. box is 2388 Albemarle, North Carolina, 28002. It's on the Instagram.
A few people have been asking me for the P.O. box through the email, so you should be getting some packages someday soon.
I hope so. I check it and I always get really sad when there's nothing in there.
You guys, don't make Leah sad.
I know, right? Send shit to us. Again, the P.O. box is, it's on Instagram for real. It's on the description.
Little letters, guys.
Oh, I love when people send
it. She with my daughter sometimes.
I do.
Make sure you write lady listeners in giant bold letters on the front. She loves that.
I'm just kidding. No, what I want you guys to do, for those of you who write, actually, I love writing letters. I have a visceral reaction to pens and paper. Like, I have so many really nice pens and lots of great stationery. I write letters randomly. It's one of my favorite things in the world. So for those of you that do and want to send correspondence, send them to the P.O. box. I'll be more than happy to write back or read the letters on here. Like, I think that's fantastic. So
I love that.
To be here in it. Yeah.
Like colonial times.
Absolutely. I have wax seals and shit. Like, I love it. I love writing letters. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yep. It's awesome. And I really like pens in general. Like, I have a bunch of really nice ones. And usually when I go somewhere on a nice trip, I get a pen when we're there. I get like a nice pen and I'll bring it home and then like I'll use it and it'll always make me think of that trip. So I think that's really cool too.
I do think that's really cool. You guys, this is the Read Me Romance podcast. If we haven't mentioned that 12 minutes in, welcome to Read Me Romance.
Thanks for joining us.
We are your hosts, Alexa Riley and Tessa Bailey, also known as Tessa, Leah, and Mel. And if you are here and you just got here because you love Melanie Moreland, who's our guest this week,
welcome. I thought you were going to say if you love Mel. I was like, well, I mean, I guess.
Like, if you're here because you love Mel, well, you're in luck. She's here again.
Melanie.
Melanie Moreland is our guest on the podcast this week, and we're so excited to have her.
Who is so sweet. I met her for the first time in Shameless when we were all there together right after we announced the podcast. Like, we announced it that night we were there, remember?
Yes, I remember.
And like, we... Yeah. You were looking at me like, what? It's like, do you remember that night? It was 4 a.m.
When I had just gotten off a flight and I smelled and like I had meat in 12 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. No big deal. But no, she came up to us at that signing and she was so freaking sweet. Like, she was the nicest lady ever.
And she has this assistant named Karen who like goes with her everywhere. And I feel like they're just like the two sweetest ladies. Like, they just are always together. They probably have fun. They probably have so much fun together.
I can't imagine like having like one person that you get to take around with you like that all the time. You know, like a friend that's just like, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. You know, I bet they have the best time at signing.
I don't have
anything. Pointing shit out.
I don't have anybody like that. Anyway.
So if you'd like to apply to be Tessa's friend,
our P.O. box is 2388.
Our P.O. box is 2388.
Yeah, please send your applications to be my best friend. So this is how Read Me Romance works, in case this is your first time joining us. We release a new romance audiobook every single week. It's professionally narrated, and we release it in 5 sections Monday through Friday, and then we wrap it up on Friday with Happily Ever After. My cat's looking at me funny. She's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
At least she's not walking across your keyboard like a dickhead.
She will.
Not yet.
She will at some point. So Melanie's book this week is called An Instant Connection, and it's about two people who meet at a bus stop, and it's super cute. I just read it this morning. I read it ironically this morning while I was on a bus on the way to my daughter's field trip.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Everything she writes is very sweet and adorable, at least I think, all I've read. This one is actually part of the Insta Spark, I think it's called, series, right?
Yes.
And the first book in the series is Something Kiss. What's it called? It's my favorite book of hers.
I hear a Mel clicking.
I know.
She's clicking through the pages to try to find it.
It started with a kiss. Yeah.
I remember I read this book and I was in the middle of it and I had to go somewhere. And I was so into the book that I had to go and get the audio and download it because I had a 2-hour car ride. And I listened to it like the whole way on my drive. And then I got there to the place and I had to wait to finish listening to it before I could go inside. It has the best epilogue I've ever read in my life.
What?
Yeah.
Why does it make it so good?
What makes it so good?
It has, without spoiling it.
Yeah.
Well, at the end, we all know you get a happy ever after, but it's a different kind of epilogue because you get to go along with her kids for a minute, the heroine and hero's kids. And it is just the way that the dad is with the daughter is like the way you think every man should be with his daughter. You're like, yes, this is how a man is with his daughter. This is how you raise them so that they see how men are supposed to treat them. Is how this epilogue is. It's okay. Just like, I'm like this that. Is wonderful.
Oh, I love that.
And then I went on like a binge of all of her books.
So It Started With a Kiss has that fabulous epilogue. And that's actually on sale this week for 99 cents. In Kindle Unlimited. So it's a good place to start with Melanie Moreland if you haven't read her yet. Yeah. So we're like really excited to have her on the podcast. And she has a ton of like exciting stuff out this week. Van Vested Interest is coming out, pre-orders available, and she's giving away like a bunch of signed books and a swag pack, so you can get that on our website. But like, we're going to talk for a little bit longer, so I don't even know why I'm already saying this.
It's okay. We're getting you hyped up, and then we're going to bring you back down before we get you up again.
Yeah,
this is a roller coaster of emotions and conversation.
Peaks and valleys.
Just buckle up.
Yeah.
Yes. Peaks and valleys, ups and downs. Just roll with us. We're going to get real deep right now.
You never know what you're going to get, but it's always going to be disorganized.
Absolutely. We guarantee it. I guarantee.
So, yeah, like I said, I was just on a field trip with my daughter to the Aviation Museum.
Oh, did you learn a lot today?
Did you feel
like you could fly a plane if you had to?
Yeah. Well, no.
I feel like that's one of those things in the back of my mind where I think that would be really cool to learn how to fly, but I feel like it's for only super rich white people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's like old white people do that, right? Like, learn how to fly? Like, retired people?
I don't know. Like, back in the day though, like this is just what I learned today.
Okay.
It was I don't know if it was rich people, but it was people that like were daredevils. Like, you had to be fucking crazy
to fly
a plane, because it was like a couple of metal bars and some wood.
Did they say that to the kids? Did they were like, you got to be fucking crazy to get
well,
on
they
this
were like
thing.
Basically like, this guy was offered basically Rockefeller or one of these guys put up like $6 million for this guy to fly from like New York to LA. And he crashed his plane 7 times on the way and kept getting on and flying it every day. And his wife would follow along his route in a train.
Yeah.
So every night when he would land the plane in a field, he'd get onto the train, fuck his wife, have dinner.
Damn!
And then get up and get back on the plane the next day,
crash it.
Can you imagine following your husband in a plane above you, knowing he's
watching
probably going to crash?
Yeah.
And just sitting there in a train watching it happen.
What the shit?
People were insane back then.
But for $6 million.
We have somebody that owns a plane behind us, and they're constantly, they take it up in the air.
Uh-uh.
They just fly it around.
I'd be like, don't fly the thing over my house.
Yeah, somebody built a house like next to ours over, and I was like, how is that guy going to land his plane anymore? because it's going to run right into that new house. He's I haven't seen him take it off this year yet. So.
Well, didn't you see about that guy? Was it on My Favorite Murder where they talked about the guy landed his plane in the front of the house? Do you remember? It was one of their episodes they
did. No, his girlfriend broke up with him, so he flew a plane into her fucking house.
He called her house because he wanted her to be standing in the living room when he landed the fucking plane. But remember, like, it was the badass thing at the end where he, like, flicked his cigarette or something.
He flicked his cigarette right before he flew the plane into the house.
He's like, poof.
Which is like, you kind of like sort of have to respect it. I'm pretty sure he's the only one that died. I don't think he actually ended up killing. I think she got out of the house in time. So, you know, all's well that ends well.
Yeah, that's right.
You would hear the plane coming, I think, because I can hear the guy in the back taking off.
Yeah.
So then the guy at the museum today tells this story about, it was a female pilot who she would sew buttons into her, like one of her dresses to make it look like so it would be like a jumpsuit while she was flying. And then when she got off the plane, she would unbutton it so it would turn back into a dress because
that's so cool.
I know. And because there was like a scandal if you didn't wear a dress back then.
Yeah.
You're a woman.
Yeah.
She was flying her plane one day. A strong wind blew it upside down and she fell out of the goddamn thing.
Holy fuck.
That's how she died. And I was
she died? What the
she died.
Shit?
I know. Okay. I know. And all you these kids, tell me 7-year-olds like standing there at the museum, like listening to these stories.
It's horrific.
Horrific.
Stories. You're like, hey, Mackenzie, you want to do a 6-hour flight to San Francisco? Let's go, kid.
Speaking of horrific, are you guys aware of this whole Momo phenomenon on the internet that's happening?
Or
is that just my internet? Or is it just my neighborhood?
No, I found out about it yesterday. And like that fucking face keeps popping up everywhere and it's creeping me the fuck out. And if anybody's listening to this and you're in headquarters, don't post that fucking picture, okay?
Don't post it.
Message someone privately about the link.
So, Mel, let me tell you. Well, first of all, it happened to my daughter.
What?
It happened to her. It popped up during one of her videos.
No shit.
Yeah. And so my sister-in-law sent me this article 2 nights ago saying that there was this boy in the UK who had brought a knife to school, 6-year-old boy, and threatened to stab 2 of his classmates because this face, Mel, don't Google it. It's a face. It's really scary. It kind of looks like the girl from The Ring or The Grudge. And it's just like long, scraggly hair and they're like giant eyes. And it tells these kids to harm themselves or harm others. And they disguise it as like one of the regular videos they watch, like Fortnite clips or.
That's what I was about to say. My dad said something about Fortnite the other day. Clips making kids want to kill somebody or something. I was like, what?
Well, they tell them it's a challenge and that if they don't do it, they're going to get cursed. And so like it'll tell them, go turn the stove on after your parents go to sleep. Things like that, like really disturbing. And so the other night I get this article from my sister-in-law and I was like, this is probably just an overblown rumor. But then I showed the picture to my daughter. And I said, have you seen this during one of your videos? I've never seen her react to anything like this. She got so upset. Like she immediately started crying. She turned white as a sheet. She said, it came on during a video. I turned it right off. I didn't listen to it. She was traumatized.
Oh my God.
She's been sleeping with the lights on. Just
Holy
from seeing
shit.
The face again. I know.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was going to say, I would too. That picture is fucking creepy.
And now, like, I'm seeing all these news outlets saying that it's not real and that YouTube can't find any evidence of it. And I'm like, no, she definitely, definitely saw it. Because my daughter's she doesn't, like, have dramatic emotions. She's very, like...
Yeah. Well, what did she see it on? Did she see it on Fortnite or was it like
she can't
a
remember
YouTube
what
video?
It came on, but that's what prompted me to ask her was that in this article it listed all these different videos where it's been reported and she watches all of them. So I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So she can't remember exactly which video it was on, but basically it just, you know, she didn't click on it. It just ends up in your queue on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll just come like the next video starts playing. And it was one
it's really, it's so strange. And it's just a distorted image. It kind of reminded me a little bit of like Beetlejuice-ish, like the way the face looked. So I'm trying to convince myself that that's what it is. So I'm not afraid of it because I got really weirded out when I saw it. But yeah, I just don't like, thinking about it.
I'm surprised my son hasn't said anything to me because he is a drama queen.
Well, then my daughter's school had like an assembly about it. Because
really?
Because it just became this widespread thing where everybody was talking about it. And then it was getting blown up into all these different scary rumors and the kids were getting freaked out. So they had to address it somehow.
My I'm going to ask my 13-year-old. She's standing outside when we're done.
She definitely has to know about it. Yeah.
She'll know.
Well, you know, and it's scary, too, because especially with games like Fortnite and Roblox and stuff, they have the messaging capabilities. And, you know, like, I don't play those games, so I don't really know how they work. But, like, I've, you know, asked groups and stuff that I'm in, like, hey, like, gaming groups. I'm like, hey, can someone tell me how to turn off the chat on this so she can play it? And they're like, you can't. I'm just like, oh, wow.
You can turn that's it off, but it's, like, you can just turn it back on with a press of a button. So it's not, like, a parental control where you can say, I don't want the chat on my it's just, like, you swipe it left.
Yeah.
But that's not good enough, like, you know, because your kid can just swipe it back.
Yeah, my kid's just, exactly. And, you know, my kid, she's not, like, you know, she's not the type of kid to go out and do something to be mischievous. She's just like, oh, like she plays with her cousins and so a couple of her close friends, and if they're not on there, she's like, well, I'll just go get another friend. Like, she doesn't think, you know, like, I don't know these people. She just assumes that everybody that's on it is really innocent and like her, like they're all, you know, 8-year-old girls that just want to play Fortnite, you know. And so, like, she doesn't understand, you know, that sort of thing. And so that's really scary, like, as a parent. And I'm trying to, like, be open about it, you know. And then on the same token, so my niece was here last weekend, and she's 13, and she wants Instagram. And I was
I know.
And I was like, absolutely not. And my sister-in-law was like, thank you. She was like, here, talk it out. And so, like, me and my best friend LB were there, and my sister was there, and my sister-in-law. And my niece was like, okay, tell me, why can't I have this? She was like, just because you guys didn't have this when you were growing up doesn't mean I can't have it. And I said, and the only thing that I think that got through to her, I said, are you jealous right now that your friends have it that you don't? And she said, absolutely. And I was like, that's what it's going to be the second you get it. I said, it's going to feel like that times a million, because I said, all you're going to do is be jealous that you're not doing the things that your friends are doing. You're not going out when they're going out. They didn't ask you to go to dinner last night. Like, I said, you're going to see all these people around you having stuff that you don't have, you know, doing stuff that you're not doing. It's going to make you feel like shit.
Yeah, it's like FOMO, like, 24 hours a day. Yeah.
Exactly. And I said, right now, because you don't have it, you're jealous and you're upset. And I said, but, you know, this is going to get worse the second you get it. I said, doesn't get better. And she was like, well, how old should I be when I get it? And I was like, 18. When you're able to make your own decisions and, you know, whatever consequences happen, you can deal with it. I said, but right now there's too many people out there who are predatory in that way. And I said, you don't even have to seek it. I said, they seek you out. And I said, and kids are inherently curious, and they're inherently going to look up, like, sex and, you know, like, nudity and all these things, like MoMA or whatever it is. They're going to look up all this shit. And I was like, you don't need an easy access to it, because Instagram's just fucking mainlining this shit, isn't you? I said, you don't have to do anything but open it up. And there's people who will message you shit, who try to say stuff. Like, you know, in the search, it's all there. Like, I said, I know I sound like my grandma right now, but I said, as a parent, you have to figure out the best way to protect your child. And I said, it's too fucking easy for people to get to them at this point.
There's too many open doors. Yeah. Like,
it's just, it's scary as shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
There's all these, you know, well, I was talking to some parents at this field trip this morning about how now my husband's telling me, he read an article about how pedophiles are trying to speak to children in the comments section of these videos on YouTube as well. And it's like, how do you monitor that? But apparently
you can't.
Disney and Nestle and a couple of these companies, like, pulled out of YouTube. And so they started banning the comments section on these kids' videos, or some of the kids' videos, which,
well, that's good.
Once you take the money away, that's when things get bad.
Yeah. It's just so scary, because, I mean, you don't know what the right thing is. And I always try to think, like, okay, my parents thought Nintendo would rot our brains, you know, and my grandparents thought that that television was the devil, you know, and my great grandparents thought the radio was Satan. You know, it's like every generation has
dancing
their own fear. Yeah, exactly.
Elvis's hips. You
know, and the Beatles, you know, the Beatles were going to make everybody pregnant. You know, I mean, it's like every generation has their own things that they deal with. And I'm trying to see this from a perspective of, like, my niece as someone who doesn't have this, but sees all her friends that have it. But I just think, you know what? You can be the weird fucking kid that doesn't have it. I don't give a shit. Like, that's just where I'm at as a parent, like, you know, with cell phones and everything. I'm like, I don't care. You can be the only one in the whole fucking school that doesn't have it. Yeah, congratulations. I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just, I don't mind being the bad guy.
Yeah. So, yeah,
let's have it. All right. This has been parenting segment of the Reading Romance podcast. Like, I don't mean to just bring this down, but it's been really bothering me the past few days, especially having that conversation.
No, well, since we're already in this, maybe I'll ask you guys, like, do you let your kids go and have sleepovers at people's houses? Like,
no, I can't do it.
No.
I think I've done it like once or twice. And then I've known the parents very well, and the girls have spent the night at my house multiple times. I can't do it. It's weird to me.
Yeah, and I used to do it so many times as a kid, and, like, my parents, like, would let me go to sleepover parties to houses, like, where they didn't even really know the parents, which is another reason. Like, true Hollywood story. Dateline.
I know.
I should have been one.
But things have changed. But, you know, that's the thing, too. I don't think that I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking out of my ass, but I don't think that we're inherently any less protective of our kids than my mom was of me. But we are way more aware and informed than our parents were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we have this information at our fingertips. My mom fucking smoked in the house my entire life because nobody told her this was bad. You know, like, she smoked in the house. She smoked when she was pregnant. Like, she drank when she was pregnant. I mean, there's no telling what else she did. But she's a fucking nurse now. And she's like, you know, she's like, we just didn't know any better. And it's the truth. I mean, you know, but now we have this information.
And that's what, like, the internet is good for, is that we are really super well informed. And when, you know, these trends start happening, everybody knows it within an hour, and they can protect their kids against it. I just can't.
And, you know, think about, like, Amber Alerts and shit that we have now. Like, technology is amazing in that aspect. But do you remember growing up and how many kids they'd just be like, well, they ran away. Like, there was there was a song about kids running away, you know? Like, there was all these runaways. They weren't fucking running away. And they were getting kidnapped. They were getting taken. Like, you know, we just didn't have a way to find this out when we were younger. And now it's like, no, there's predators every fucking where. And you have to be more careful. And I think that's what, like, makes me more paranoid, especially about sleepovers. Because you can know the parents, but what if Uncle Tom comes over?
What if they have a brother?
Yeah, exactly. What if there's a 14-year-old brother that's going to go in the room that night or whatever?
I mean, you
just don't fucking know.
We had a listener email like that last week.
Yep, exactly. A cousin, you know? Like, yeah. Jesus.
I know. It's like this is the first time someone's asked if my daughter could spend the night. And I said no, obviously, because I have to monitor her blood sugar. So I said, maybe they can come over. It's a great
excuse.
Thank God she has diabetes.
I know, right?
Thank God for diabetes. Just save me from saying no. But, like, this was the first time. And I happen to trust these parents. Like, we're really like-minded and have the same kind of, you know, we're just very similar. And if I was going to trust anybody, it would probably be these people. But I was like, you just can't. It's not a... You can't control everything that happens.
I know.
And it scares me.
But my thing is, and that sounds crazy to say you can't control everything. I recognize that sounds crazy. But I also recognize they have their entire lives to fuck up. Do you know how much I fucked up from the age of 18 on? Like, you know, I sabotage myself left and right. You know, there's plenty of time to fuck up later. Let's just keep them in a bubble as long as possible.
Yeah, I mean, people make fun of helicopter parents, but it's like...
Look, zoom, zoom, motherfucker.
Wait till you have a child and you will do, like, I thought I would never, ever leave Brooklyn. The second she was born, I was like, we need to get her a backyard. We need to get her somewhere with a good, you know, like, you just change and you can't control the fact that you change. And if moving to a different place or keeping them from a different situation will keep them innocent 1 minute longer, you'll do it. That's just parenting.
Absolutely.
It's just like something you do. I don't know. It's,
I'm just gonna
switch,
like,
gets turned lay on.
I'm just gonna lay on my children so that no one is just gonna wear bulletproof vests and helmets their entire lives.
Leah said it to me the other day because mine just turned 13. I'm like, she's driving me crazy. She's like, you just want her to stand there and shut up. You don't want her to leave your sight, but you don't want her to talk either. Like, pretty much.
Okay, I feel like we need to cap this chat off with a couple of parody porn titles, which I have written down here.
Nice swing.
I'm gonna read them.
This is an excellent segue.
Yeah, I'm gonna read them to you, and then we'll go ahead and send. We'll give you a laugh, and then after this,
babies. Guess how you got pregnant? And go.
Yeah, that's a good. That was. Bravo. Okay. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. The parody title: Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Balls. Not bad.
What? No.
These are real porn parodies that are out there. You can look them up.
This should be the Sorcerer's Bone. Like, why didn't we come up with that?
Right, Mission Impossible 2, Missionary Positions Impossible 2. What? This one made me laugh. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Titty Titty yet Gang Bang.
Titty Titty Gang Bang.
Pulp, instead of Pulp Fiction, Pulp Friction.
These are great.
Foreskin Gump.
Oh, Foreskin Gump.
Instead of Forrest
Stop
Gump.
It. I love it.
Instead of West Side Story, Breast Side Story.
That's so stupid. That's terrible. I love it. Keep going.
Instead of Dawn of the Dead, Dawn of the Head, which a dude came up
That's
with that.
That's on the nose.
Instead of Young Frankenstein, Hung Wankerstein.
I want to see these porns now.
I looked at all of the covers yesterday. Well, they're deliciously cheesy as much as the titles are.
I was gonna say we got Apple TV like years ago, and it was jailbroken, and there was so much porn on it, and it was hilarious. Like the amount of porn, that was on this thing that was just accessible. I was like, that's all people use this shit for, Apple TV apparently. So
have you ever
got one?
Have you ever watched the famous 1970s porn called Taboo? Have you ever watched that?
No. What is it?
Me neither.
Well, now I need to look up what it is. Like, what's it about?
It's just what it sounds like. It's like family stuff. But I happened to stumble across it, and it's like, it was made in the 70s, and it's...
That's full bush.
Full, like... Just hair everywhere. Head, face, vaginas, balls.
There's so little landscaping.
I've like come across it a few times in my travels across the internet, and this is the first time I was like, I'm gonna let this play out. And I did. And I don't regret it. So
that's amazing.
Okay, you guys, we're gonna play the first section of An Instant Connection by Melanie Moreland, and we'll catch up with you when this first section is over. Enjoy this adorable meet cute between the hero and the heroine. Bye.
Bye.
Chapter 1. Mandy. The cool fall air hit me as I exited the tall Toronto skyscraper in the early evening. I breathed in deeply, ignoring the scent of exhaust fumes and the hundreds of people bustling past me, no doubt as anxious to be home as I was at the moment. I needed to get the smell of the stale building air out of my lungs. At least I was out of the office and away from my tyrant of a boss. Plus, it was Friday, which meant I had the whole weekend ahead of me. With a heavy sigh, I turned and headed toward the bus station a few blocks away. Michelle had been on a tear today, worse than usual. HR had confirmed the hire of a new associate at the architectural company I worked for, and he was due to arrive on Monday. Michelle was the head administrative manager of the office, and she ran her department with an iron fist. When she found out a new person would be arriving and his office needed to be ready, she had snagged me and another woman from the temp pool and put us to work. Betty had fallen ill by noon, which left me on my own with Michelle, who simply could not be pleased today. It was rare she could be, and it seemed the new hire, Mr. McKenzie, was particular and liked things a certain way. The pictures of his work I helped unpack showed his creative, edgy style. His initials on each piece were a bold MM slashed in the corner in thick black ink. There was a box I emptied, under her watchful eye, filled with unique items from around the world. I had set them carefully on the shelves that lined the wall, knowing Mr. McKenzie would probably move them to a different spot. But thankfully, they were unpacked. Obviously, the man had traveled extensively throughout his career. The way Michelle kept nattering on about him and how lucky the company was to have hired him, I assumed he was well known and admired. He had to be for her to pay that much attention to his office. I was sure the two of them would get along famously the way she was fussing. When I first started at the company, I had looked forward to learning from Michelle, but once I began to work under her, I changed my mind. She was catty and unpleasant, only polite to her bosses and the managers she catered to daily. To her underlings, she was dismissive, curt, and at times cutting. I kept my head down, did my work, and unobtrusively sent out as many resumes as I could. I reached the bus stop, knowing I had already missed the 7 o'clock bus and would have to wait for the next one, which wasn't for 45 minutes. It wasn't a bad place to wait. Lots of benches situated around the large area, and it was well lit. Since it was one of the main stops, and most of the city buses came through, it was usually bustling, although being later on a Friday night, it was fairly quiet. A woman brushed past me, calling an apology over her shoulder as she rushed for a bus ahead of us that was beginning to close the doors. She waved frantically at the driver, her stuffed messenger bag bouncing off her back as she ran. I noticed how tired she looked as she met my gaze quickly, and without thinking, I lifted my hand to my mouth and whistled. I was a great whistler, and the sound cut through the night. The driver hesitated, saw the woman and waited. With a wave, she climbed on the bus, and I fist-bumped the air. My good deed for the day, I muttered, made my way over to the bench and sat down. I bent low, rubbing my calves. I hated high heels, but it was part of the look Michelle demanded of all the assistants in the office. I wore the lowest ones I could get away with so I didn't face her wrath. But still, by the end of the day, my legs were always sore. All I wanted was to get home, kick off my heels, pour a large glass of wine, and have a soak in the tub. That is an impressive set of lips. Startled, I looked up, meeting the eyes of a man. He was leaning against the street lamp, his arms crossed. A bright, coppery mass of curls gleamed under the light. He was tall, his shoulders wide and thick. His coat stretched tight across his torso. He was near enough I could see the color of his eyes. Piercing, brilliant blue irises were set into a face I could only describe as gorgeous. He had high cheekbones and a strong jaw covered with more copper. His smile was lazy, his lips drawn back, showing off straight white teeth. One corner of his mouth lifted higher than the other one, giving him a rakish air. I beg your pardon? Great whistle. I was trying to get the attention of the bus driver. You got more than that. You got my attention. I rolled my eyes, turning slightly on the bench. I was too tired to fend off a flirt, even one as handsome as him. From the corner of my eye, I saw him step closer. Do you know her? I sighed and faced him. I hated to be impolite, even to pushy strangers who couldn't take a hint. Pardon me? The woman you helped to make sure she caught her bus. Do you know her? No. He rubbed his jaw, seemingly reflective. I tried to ignore his hands, but I couldn't. I had a thing for hands, and his were incredible. Large, with long, thick fingers that were still elegant, but looked as if they were capable of ripping a phone book in half with ease, or caressing my skin with the softest of touches. I blinked. Where the hell did that thought come from? I dug into my purse, searching for my earbuds. Do you often help strangers? I glanced up, surprised to see the man standing directly in front of me. Close up, he was even better looking. His wild hair hung low on his brow, and his eyebrows were darker, setting off his exceptional blue eyes. There were laugh lines around them, and from the impish grin he sported, I had a feeling he laughed a lot. As if he knew what I was thinking, his grin widened. Two deep dimples popping in his cheeks, changing him from attractive to devastatingly handsome. I blinked again. What was his question? I guess. She looked tired, and I know what it's like to miss your bus and simply want to get home. I lifted one shoulder. I was glad to help. He studied me for a moment, then nodded. He sat down a few feet away and pulled out his phone. Feeling strangely disappointed, I went back to digging for my earbuds, thinking I would have to clean out my purse on the weekend. I couldn't find a thing in it.
Maybe you need a smaller purse.
I paused my digging, knowing I had been talking out loud again. Living alone, I did that a lot, although I tried to refrain from doing so out in public. I glanced over at the man, startled at his close proximity. Had he moved? I'll take that under advisement, I replied dismissively, then bent my head.
I'd like to take you to dinner.
I almost dropped my purse, but managed to grab it before it fell from my lap.
I beg your pardon?
He chuckled.
You're exceptionally polite. I like that. I said I would like to take you to dinner.
Thank you, but no. My response didn't seem to faze him. He lifted one shoulder casually.
All right.
He leaned back, crossing his leg over his knee and draped his arm along the back of the bench. He was near enough I could feel his warmth and smell his expensive cologne. Ocean breezes and citrus filled my nose. I liked it.
Is it because you don't know me?
His words jolted me back to reality. I'm sorry?
Why you won't have dinner with me? Because you don't know me.
Yes, that's part of it. It's not advisable to walk off with strangers you meet at a bus stop. He nodded.
Good point.
You could be a stalker or a serial killer for all I know.
I could be. Or a mobster. They're pretty scary. Trigger happy, too, from what I've seen.
Had lots of dealings with mobsters, have you? I asked sarcastically. He stared at me.
I've watched TV, he replied haughtily. I'm aware of how they operate.
My lips twitched, but I stayed silent. I moved my hand around, locating my earbuds. Finally, I muttered. I slipped them on, plugging them into my phone. I began scrolling through my playlists when one earbud was pulled from my ear. Hey, I gasped.
I'm not, he said firmly.
Not what? I snatched my bud from his fingers, his long, incredibly sexy fingers.
A stalker or a serial killer? Even a mobster.
I see.
I'm a nice guy.
You're annoying.
Only because you insist on ignoring me. You make me notice you, then you blow me off.
I felt the flare of anger. Listen, buddy, I didn't try to get your attention. I didn't even notice you. I was helping someone, that's all. He laid a hand over his heart in mock indignation.
You didn't notice me. I saw you the instant you came around the corner. When you whistled, I took it as a sign.
Well, take this as a sign. Have a nice night. I turned my back to him and slid my buds into my ears. I hit play blindly, letting the music drown out all the other noise, including him. He was an arrogant ass. Good-looking, but insufferable. A moment later, his phone appeared in front of me. On the screen was a kitten, its paws together as if begging. Forgive me, the caption read. Damn it, a kitten? This guy was good. I turned around, noticing he was even closer, right beside me. I yanked out my buds. Ever heard of personal space?
Yes. But you smell good. Really good.
I resisted the urge to tell him he did too. Instead, I shook my head in exasperation. Persistent as well, I see.
Is that worse than being a serial killer?
Right now? Yes.
I think I've figured out how to get you to have dinner with me.
Is that right? Fast thinker. He nodded, tapping his forehead.
It's a 3-stage plan.
I see.
He held up a finger. One, you get to talk to me again. I've accomplished that. Two, introduce myself so we're no longer strangers. Then we move on to number three and head to dinner. I shook my head, trying not to laugh. He was impossible, and getting more impossible to resist. Every time he smiled, his dimples popped, his eyes crinkled, his expression turned mischievous. He was very sexy. He held out his hand. I'm Mitchell, Mitchell Emerson. With a slight sigh of resignation, I slid my hand into his. His long fingers curled around my palm, strong yet gentle. Amanda Clifford. Lovely to meet you, Amanda. Do your friends call you Mandy? Yes. Great. Now, Mandy, how about dinner? Are you always this persistent? When I want something, yes. Look, Mitchell. He interrupted me. Mitch. My friends call me Mitch. I sighed and tried again. Look, Mitchell, I appreciate the offer, but the bottom line is you're still a stranger. I don't know you or anything about you. I can't simply go to dinner with you because you asked. He tilted his head and studied me. Once again, the light caught his coppery curls, and I had to stop myself from reaching out and seeing if they were as soft as they looked. I had a feeling he'd like that and use it to his advantage. That's the point of a date, I think, he stated, to get to know each other. Now it's a date? It is? Awesome. I started to laugh. Stop twisting my words around. I don't know you. I am not going out to dinner with you. It's time to move on to number three of my plan. The big guns. Which is? He held out his phone. References. I stared at the screen. My son Mitchell is a gentleman. He will behave or face my wrath. Enjoy your dinner. I gaped at him. Your mother? He tapped the screen. There's more. I glanced down. My big brother is a pain, but the sweetest guy you'll ever meet. Text me if you want more deets. 555-123-4567. Chris. I began to laugh. He tapped the screen again. Mitch Emerson is an upstanding citizen and one hell of a golfer. That's really all I can say about him without incriminating myself. Oh, he has great taste in wine. Sincerely, Joseph Talbot. I looked up, one eyebrow raised. My best friend, he explained. I can give you all their cell phone numbers, or I have my boss on speed dial. He'd vouch for me. Why? I asked. Why are you going to all this trouble? His expression turned serious. I saw you come around the corner, and all I could think about was getting to meet you. I shook my head in confusion. Again, why? You want honest? Yes, I like honest. I thought you were the prettiest woman I had ever seen. Then I saw you help that lady, which meant you were also kind. I found your whistle extremely sexy, and I love your legs. They really do it for me. Roll all that together, and I liked the package. He sucked in a deep breath and paused. So, Amanda, I was hoping maybe you liked my package and would have dinner with me. I burst out laughing at his words. He had the grace to look ashamed, even if his eyes were dancing with mirth. Do you, Amanda? Do you like the looks of my package? I couldn't resist. I didn't want to. Persistent, annoying, and sexy as hell. Plus, he thought I was sexy and he liked my legs. Two firsts for me. It's at least worth checking out. He leaned forward, grinning. I guarantee you'll be satisfied. Is that so? Is that a yes? I gave in. I was hungry, and dinner with a companion sounded nice. Yes.
Can you recommend a good restaurant? He asked. I only moved here a few days ago, and I don't know many places.
I thought about it for a moment. There's an Italian place just down the street.
I love pasta.
Me too. I did. And the restaurant was within walking distance. If things went south, I was still close to the bus stop, and it was in an area I was familiar with. He stood and held out his hand.
You just made my night, Mandy.
I allowed him to pull me from the bench. I had a feeling he might have just made mine, too. The streets were busy, people rushing to get to dinner, the theater, or one of the various other events happening in the city on a Friday night. Mitch stayed close, his hand hovering over the small of my back as we headed toward the restaurant. When I was jostled a couple of times, he cursed low in his throat. Sliding his arm around my waist, he drew me into his side. I gazed up at him, arching one eyebrow.
To keep you safe, he said to my unspoken question.
I didn't argue or move away. Tucked beside him felt right. His 6-foot-plus frame towered over me. I was average height for a woman, but I felt small and safe beside him. His warmth sank into my skin, and every time he pulled me closer as a group passed us, I could smell his incredible scent. I was almost disappointed when we reached the restaurant and he released me. Luckily, it was thinning out as people hurried to the next phase of their evening, and we were seated right away. I slid into the booth, trying not to grin as he stood, his gaze bouncing between the two sides of the table.
I want to sit beside you.
I slid closer to the wall. Be my guest.
But I like to watch the expressions on your face when you talk. They captivate me.
His words caught me off guard. I wasn't used to the easy compliments he threw out, yet they seemed completely sincere. He slid in opposite me.
Dinner here, dessert there.
What if we don't make it to dessert? I teased.
Then I'll move to the bar and drown my sorrows.
Isn't that a little overboard? We just met. He reached across the table and clasped my hand. Turning it over, he traced the veins on the thin skin of my wrist gently. His touch made me shiver. He met my inquisitive gaze.
I think our meeting is going to prove to be a significant moment in my life.
My breath caught in my throat. Our eyes met and held. Sincerity blazed from the depths of ocean blue, staring into my startled gaze. I opened my mouth, but no words came out. I had no idea how to respond to such a profound statement.
Mitch bent low and lifted my hand to his mouth.
He pressed a soft, lingering kiss to the skin.
Sorry, I get carried away. My mom and sister tell me to slow my roll all the time. I felt a flash of trepidation.
You pick up a lot of women?
He shook his head firmly. No, I swear to God, I am not a player. I just make decisions fast. Moving here, changing jobs, picking an apartment, going after the prettiest woman who could stop a train with her whistle and sexy legs. That sort of thing, he winked. Especially the pretty woman.
I felt myself grow warm under his gaze. He chuckled.
I really love your expressive face.
He sat back but didn't release my hand.
Surely your previous boyfriends told you how incredibly pretty you are.
I slid back my hand, ignoring the way his fingers flexed, trying to hold it to his. Not really.
Then they must have been blind and totally stupid.
I shook my head, surprised by his words once more. You can't say things like that. You don't even know me. He smirked, draping his arm over the back of the booth. The evening is young, Mandy. I plan to rectify that. One night isn't going to change anything. He shook his head, signaling for the waiter. That, sweetheart, is where you're wrong. One night is going to change everything.
Mitch. The subdued light in the restaurant played off Mandy's face, highlighting the curve of her cheeks. I wasn't joking when I told her I had noticed her the instant she came around the corner. Her bright red coat had caught my eye, and her long, shapely legs made me stand up, sit up straighter, and take notice. Her dark brown hair swung freely around her shoulders, and she walked with a sexy, easy grace. When she put her fingers to her mouth and whistled, I was a goner. I was on my feet and headed toward her without another thought. Watching her fist bump the air when the woman caught her bus made me grin. I was certain she didn't even realize she had made the gesture. When she sat down and rubbed her calves, it was all I could do not to drop to my knees in front of her and offer to do it for her. When I approached her and she lifted her face to mine, my breath caught. Big, mossy green eyes, creamy skin, and lips that were meant to be kissed by me greeted me. Her smile was killer, full and wide, even when she was telling me off. Her protests and vain attempts to ignore me only spurred me on. I wanted, needed, to spend some time with her. There was something about her that drew me in. I wanted to figure out what that something was, and once I'd made up my mind, I never missed a goal. And Amanda Clifford was now a huge goal. On our walk to the restaurant, the feel of her nestled into my side was better than I had hoped. She fit there perfectly. She wasn't a skinny woman that felt like a skeleton. She was curvy and sexy, and I liked how she molded to my side. If I turned my head to look at her, I caught a whiff of her shampoo, fruity and sweet. Or maybe it was her. I was good with either one. I wanted more of it. After confirming she liked wine, I ordered a good bottle of red, and we studied the menu. I kept looking up, catching her staring back at me. Her gaze would drop, prompting me to grin. She felt it too. The intense chemistry that hit me the instant our eyes met. I wanted to explore it. I wanted to explore her. Every single delectable inch of her. "Anything look good to you?" she asked. "Yes." She glanced up, her eyebrows lifted in question. "Oh, sorry, you meant the menu?" She furrowed her brow. "What did you think I meant?" I leaned closer over the table, smiling. You look good to me. Her cheeks flooded, diffusing her skin with a flush of color that only heightened my attraction to her. She lifted the menu higher, hiding her face. I plucked the offending folder from her hands, setting it aside. "I don't like it when you hide. You are far too pretty for me not to look at."
"I haven't decided yet," she objected.
"I have. We're having the chef's special menu."
"Oh, are we? What if I don't like it?"
"Then I'll order you something else. Tonight is all about spontaneity, so we'll let him decide what we eat. Any allergies I should inform them about? Strong dislikes?" She pursed her lips, then shrugged.
"No."
"Okay, then. I hope dinner is amazing." I lifted my glass in a toast. "Just like meeting you." She lifted her glass, touching it to mine.
"You're very direct."
"I am."
"You say things I'm not sure how to take."
I relaxed back against the leather banquette and studied her in the dim light. There was something so intriguing about her. I wanted to know her, all about her. And for the first time in a long while, I wanted a woman to know me. You'll get used to it. I speak my mind, especially when I'm pleased. She hesitated, then spoke. And I please you? Oh, sweetheart. You have no idea. She shook her head, but the smile on her lips said it all.
Okay, guys, we're back. We hope you enjoyed the first section of An Instant Connection by Melanie Moreland, which is now up for pre-order. The ebook is up for pre-order. There's going to be an extended version when the ebook releases. So there'll be bonus content. So you definitely want to click that.
I was going to ask, what's she doing for a giveaway this week? Have we mentioned that already?
Yeah, she's doing signed paperback copies of the Vested Interest books. One through three. And she's going to do a swag pack too. So.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. That link is in the episode description. All the links are in the episode description. And like, we're probably shouting it out all over social media right now. So.
Absolutely.
Make sure you're following Read Me Romance on Instagram and Facebook. It started with a kiss, which is Mel's favorite, is 99 cents right now, this week only. And it's on Kindle Unlimited. So make sure you grab that.
And if you're enjoying the audio, you can pick up the audio of that too. So yeah. It's kind of an audiobook.
Do you guys know, like, if you buy an ebook, you can buy the audio for like $7 and then you can go back and forth.
We talked about that. Didn't we talk about that? Like a couple episodes back, we got into it about.
Yeah. So if you're going to buy it, if you're going to get the audio, definitely buy the ebook first.
Yeah. Because then you get the discount. You can save your credit for the larger purchase one.
And then you can do this thing called Whisper Sync. Which, like...
Oh, I like that, too. I did that with mine, where you're reading, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, if you're reading the audiobook and then you, like, have to run to the store, throw on the audiobook and it picks up where your ebook left off. Like, it just...
Intuitive. Vice versa, too. I like that. The fancy fuckers at Audible.
All right. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more An Instant Connection by Melanie Moreland. And Leah, tell them what to do.
Oh, yeah. Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. Let's fuck this week up. It's Monday. Start off right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance.